Alleluia. Praise Jesus. I'm very, very touched. I really am. First and foremost, because of the love and the kindness. Chaplain, sir, thank you. I really honor you from the depth of my heart. I'm grateful, sir. And Lasso, you want me to relocate back to Lagos? Hallelujah. I want to start tonight by truly, truly appreciating us. There's so many people right to the back. I see you right to the fence. I see every single one of you. And I always tell people that the only difference between those who sit or stand close to a man of God and those who are afar off is just the physical convenience. As far as the power of God is concerned, no matter where you are tonight, under the sound of my voice, He will touch you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin that never ends. From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin that never ends. To the God of all flesh. Come on, help me, Lasso. My God, and His name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. You're my King, and Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. You're my God, and Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. You're my King, and Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Father, You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Father, You are seated on the throne. Lift your hands and worship Him. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. To the Father, You are seated on the throne. Spirit of the living God, we thank You because tonight Jesus will be glorified in this place. Thank You for the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You because Your word will change us. Thank You tonight because men and women in this place will carry very strange graces and mantles and anointings. Lord, I pray that Your power will invade this campus tonight in an irrecoverable way. I pray that You take Your people to higher dimensions in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Do this while you have the time to turn to 50 or at least 60 people and tell them you are in for an encounter. I'm counting. Start. You will need to leave your seat. Go ahead, I'm the one counting. I'm the lecturer tonight. I'm handling the mic, so. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. Jesus. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. Jesus. I'm a seeker of your presence, seeker of your presence, seeker of your presence, Jesus. I'd like you to sit down and carry something to write and trust God to open your ears, your spirit, and all that can be attentive to receive this word tonight. Even if you have to stand, right while standing. In the book of Revelation, it says, this that you have seen, he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm teaching a very powerful subject. I want to show you a very deep secret tonight. I know that this is a crusade, but then I felt very stirred in my spirit to share this tonight, because I believe with all my heart that God has an agenda for your campus. I believe with all my heart that as a corporate people, you are stepping into a new season and a very strange prophetic season. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. I believe with all my heart that this campus is not just a place of learning. I believe that this campus is also a spiritual training ground. And I know that many great men and women have arisen from your campus. But then I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God once again wants to blow across the length and the breadth of your campus, that there are men and women that must arise in this season. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your wind. That's our prayer tonight. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your wind. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your. Tonight I want to show you the secret that can cause a man to host very superior dimensions of the presence and the power of God. I'm teaching tonight on a message that I believe is very timely for your campus. The price for revival. Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Blow, blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory, would you cover us with your wings? In every territory, in every organization, there always, according to the law of times and seasons, will come a time and a moment when the Spirit of the Living God will seek to find men and women with whom He can do great and mighty things within the sphere of their territory and their civilization. All through the Bible and all through modern history, we find men and women that in every generation, God seems to find an individual or a group of people that He will break, He will make, He will empower and send with a message and send with an anointing. And those men and women shook their generations. Those men and women did mighty things for the kingdom, lifted the name of Jesus, held the banner of righteousness within the time span of their civilization. And God has not changed. In every generation, He must find Himself a man. He must find Himself a woman. He is not obliged to find everyone. It is desire to use and find everyone. But unfortunately, the Bible says, as many as received Him. Meaning not everybody will. It says, then even to them that believed in His name, He gave them power. So the power is designed for everyone. But you will have to work with as many. Upon your campus, in spite of how far God has helped you, and let me take a moment to appreciate all the spiritual voices on your campus. You may think you are young, you may think you are students, but let me tell you to not despise what God is doing in and through you, from your fellowships to your groups to the corporate student spiritual leadership. But in spite of all that you have seen, and in spite of what He has done and is using you to do, I want you to know that there is a deeper dimension and there is a higher level. Some of you have seen the power of God in a very commendable dimension. There are many of you here being used by God in different degrees, the prophetic, the apostolic. Some of you are pastors. Some of you are leaders in your mother churches. Some of you are children of men and women of God. Some of you have received vision. Some of you started your ministry long before you got admission. It doesn't matter what category you come under tonight. There is always something more. If your heart is open to know that, Lord, I have seen you, but I know you can be greater, you can be higher. I know that I have tasted of your grace and your power. I know that you have used me in the prophetic. You have used me to heal the sick. But I know tonight that what I have seen and what I have is not enough. It is for such people that this message is designed for. The spirit of revival. A revival is a season of awakening. A revival is a season of spiritual emphasis. Listen very carefully. A revival is a season and a time where men, through the sacrifice of alignment, allow unusual dimensions of the presence, the power,
power, the might of God to invade their lives and invade their territories. When this happens, it's called a revival, a time and a season where men and women, by the Spirit and by sacrifice, suddenly come into the realization that it matters for God to be prioritized in our lives, to be prioritized upon our campus, to be prioritized within our fellowships and groups. There must come a time in every life and in every territory where, by the supply of the Spirit, you get to a point where there is an unusual hunger, there is an unusual passion, there is an unusual desire for God. More than your necessary food, more than anything that money can buy. When a man gets to a point where you are so desperate to see the power and the glory of God, then you are ready for a revival. Here's how the psalmist said it. Oh Lord, you are my God. He says, early will I seek you. My soul longs for you. My flesh desires you. He says, to see your power and your glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Lord, reproduce in my life what I've seen in the church. Reproduce in my fellowship what I saw in Reinhard Bonnke's crusade. Lord, I desire to see your power and your glory in my life, in my campus, in my church, in my fellowship. When that happens to you, a revival is happening. We read in the Bible that on the day of Pentecost, the Bible records, it was a feast of Pentecost, but there were a group of determined, hungry people, 120 of them, the Bible tells us, waiting and praying for an outpouring of the Spirit upon their lives. And the Bible declares that there was a sound from heaven, the same way there was a sound in Ezekiel 37. And then the Bible says that that sound came and filled the room where they were. And all of a sudden they saw what looked like cloven tongues as of fire, and it rested upon each and every one of them. And that was the birthing of the church as we know today. You read through modern history, the stories of men like Alexander the Great, men like Maria Woodward Eater, and you see the revivals that these men and women brought forth. We read in our own modern history in Nigeria, the story of men like Apostle Babalola, the story of men like Archbishop Benson Idahosa. These were men who, in dimensions that were more than the average, through the sacrifice of alignment, they hosted unusual dimensions of God's presence. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, compared to what is coming, everything that has happened in the past is only a shadow. The Bible says it. I had the privilege of meeting a very mighty general of God before he passed on to be with the Lord, because I was searching for men and women, since I didn't have the opportunity to be alive during the lifetime of God's generals. I said, to pay the price and at least encounter those who encountered them. And I've met a few by the grace of God. And one of them told me something. He said, before Smith Wigglesworth died, Smith Wigglesworth went to a great man called Lester Sumrall and said, do not die with this anointing. When you are old, find young men. There has to be someone who is passionate, and transfer that mantle to them. And that Smith Wigglesworth told him that, I have seen in my vision that the generation of our children's children are the ones who will carry a mantle greater than all of us combined together. And I said, this is what I'm looking for. But there is a price Like I shared yesterday, hear me, brothers and sisters, the birth of anything valuable is painful. Scripture declares that as soon as Zion travails, not without a travail, as soon as Zion travails, that she shall put forth her child. Not everything in the kingdom is a gift. There are things that are rewards. He is the rewarder, not just the gift giver. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we together? There is a revival coming upon this earth. There is a revival coming upon Africa. There is a revival coming in Nigeria. I have seen it many times in my visions. I saw it coming, and I've seen the move of God. And that was when the Lord began to speak to me that he will use different campuses of learning. It looks like you just came just to study. That is true, but much more than that, you have come to a place of destiny. It's called a university, and you have to study and do what brought you here. But let me tell you the truth, the voice and the cry of destiny is what brought many of us here. That's the reason why, if you do not hurry up to align your life to destiny, you may graduate and go, and many years afterwards, the Lord will say, I gave you a chance to find me. I gave you a chance to seek me. I gave you a chance to love me. So listen very carefully, because tonight's message carries with it the spirit of revival. There is a price. You don't just tell the sick, be healed, and they get healed. Listen to me, believers. You don't just tell demons, leave them, and then demons go. No, there is a price. You don't just stand to preach and souls are saved. There is a price to pay. You don't just become a voice that a generation listens to. There is a price to pay. Behind every glory as you have known, there is really a story. And I pray that as I walk you through the keys and the price that will birth revival in your own life, birth revival in Lasso, birth revival in your ministry, that the Lord will grant us the attentiveness to listen. So in 1 minute where you are, I'd like you to just lay hands on your head and pray and say, Lord, my spirit is open. My spirit is open. There's no distraction. I'm hearing this message for the sake of my generation. I'm hearing it for the sake of my fellowship. I'm hearing it for the sake of my pastor, my father. I'm hearing it for the sake of the people I've seen in my dreams and visions. Is someone praying tonight? Oh Lord, keep praying. Set my heart on fire for you. For you. Oh Lord, will you bring my life in order for you? For you. I want to know your heart. Hey, Shana Mala, want to know your heart. Hey, na, na, na. I want to know your heart. Someone is praying. Kalaba Shalaba Kato Sabriada. I want to know your heart. Hallelujah. The first prize for revival in a life, in a church, upon a campus, is the price of total and absolute surrender. Write it down. The first non-negotiable price to host the presence of His Majesty within a territory is the price of total and absolute surrender. I have preached all kinds of messages on encounters. I've preached all kinds of messages on the Holy Spirit and revivals. Are we together? Years ago, the Lord showed me a scripture and He told me this is the protocol for an encounter. This is the spiritual system that causes men to encounter God. And it's found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Never forget this scripture for the rest of your life. And verse 13. Hear me, man of God. Hear me, prophet of God. Hear me, Deborah of God. There is a system in the spirit that can make men find God. Now you listen carefully. There are three dimensions of God's presence as revealed to man. The first dimension of His presence is called His omniscience. His ability, His omnipresence, I meant to say. His ability to be everywhere at the same time. The psalmist said, where can I go from your presence? So God is everywhere. His omnipresence is everywhere. Every jurisdiction of His creation responds to His presence. There is the second dimension of His presence. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, it says, there I am in their midst. So every time believers come together, the condition is to have at least two people that believe in the name of the Lord, and there is a dimension of God's presence. That's why we know He is here. But the third dimension of His presence is called His Shekinah, His manifested presence, where He is not only there, but He is there in a way and a manner that you know He is there. And He is not just there, He is there in His power and in His glory. Every once and again, the Bible would tell us that when they offered sacrifices, Solomon especially, the Bible would say the Shekinah of God will come into the temple and the glory, the mist of His presence will fill that place, and the priests would not even be able to minister. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, fills this room. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, your awesome presence fills this room. So His presence comes, and both animate and inanimate objects know that God is in the midst of His people. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye seek me with all your heart. Lasso, shout with me. Say, all your heart. One more time. Say, all your heart. The key words is not seeking me. It is that it must be with all your heart. In other words, if I claim I am seeking Him and never find His manifested presence, that condition is diagnosed to mean my all is not seeking Him. Because there is a covenant and a vow that if I seek Him with my all, I will find Him. So when it looks like God is far away from you, as a pastor, when it looks like God is far away from your fellowship, your church, your ministry, as a student, when it looks like God is far away from you and you're not seeing His power and glory, could it be that a part of you is not genuinely seeking Him? This is an uncomfortable truth you must admit. if you really want to host His presence. There are many people who believe that just because you see a man of God flow so easily in the spirit, we may just think that the power of God just moves just because you are talking. Oh, God will move. Oh, God will heal the sick. In the name of Jesus, be healed. It's more than that. There is a spiritual track record that must be created. A track record of hunger. A track record of passion. A track record of fire. When you want to host the presence of God, enough for a generation to see Jesus in your life. Listen to me very carefully. Just like I began to teach yesterday, the price is surrender. The challenge with many people, and I say this loving the body of Christ, is that we need to balance the object and the motive behind our pursuit. For some of us, Jesus Christ is just an instrument, like a thermometer that I use to have a high CGPA. For people, there are people, Jesus is a weapon that I need in Nigeria to dodge away demons and witches and wizards, and so that I will be great. For others, Jesus looks like a weapon that I can just use so that I will become great in life. All of these dimensions are realities that He supplies to you. But you must get to a point where your hunger and your pursuit for God is not just for money. It's not just for fame. It's not just for anointing. It's not just for influence. That you look at Him and say, Lord, I love You and I seek You. Miracle or no miracle. Lifting or no lifting. I'm not using You just as a servant, as a houseboy. I'm not using You as a ladder to hurriedly climb the realm of greatness. And when I get there, I say, Jesus, You go away. The day I need You again, I will call You. Once upon a time, Jesus was in a feast. And the Bible says that a feast was going on. Yet Jesus was not recognized in that feast. He must become the epicenter of your life. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about You. Yes, it's all about You. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about You. Yes, it's all about You. That's the key. When it becomes all about Him, Lord, I'm seeking You. I know in seeking You, I will get 5 points. But Lord, that 5 points is still all about You. And God will say, you mean you can hide behind the cross to let men see me? There is nowhere I cannot take you to. The Bible says, and I, if I be lifted up, listen carefully, I will draw. The key is that I be lifted up. I become the emphasis. The mistake we make is that we make ourselves the emphasis. Apostle Joshua Selman. You know, while I stood here and your dear chaplain was presenting the award, I looked and I just nodded my head. In my mind, I said, Lord, where are You? Come and collect Your award. Because the award really belongs to Him. Without Him, this man you see standing before you is just a noisemaker. He's the mystery behind the results that you see. Now, you see, when you love Him and you know you are nothing without Him, you will not be ashamed to say that. Most of us will be ashamed because we are used to being superstars. We are used to being celebrities. We like the applause that comes when you are at the center stage. But if you want to see revival, you must adopt the language of John the prophet, that I may decrease. That I may decrease. Doesn't mean you will not be famous. Doesn't mean you will not be prosperous. As a matter of fact, that is even the condition for all those things. When you hide behind him, then he will lift you up like a trophy that no power in existence can bring down. The first price of revival is not just the price of prayer. It's not just the price of fasting. It's not just the price of Bible study. Your heart. Your heart. Not your hands. Not just your mouth. He says they draw nigh to me with their lips, he says, but their heart. Their hearts. You're my treasure, my priority. Who can compare to you? For great is the measure of your royalty. Oh, morning star, you truly are everything. That's not a special number. It's a creed. It's a recitation that is coming from a heart that is desperate. Prayer warrior, are you ready to surrender all? Or are you just ready to use prayer as a ladder to shine? President of fellowship, pastor, leader, as well-meaning as you are, tonight God is challenging us to examine the motif. For let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you assume a posture in the spirit where Christ is ever lifted and ever seen and ever glorified in your life, then there is nothing my God cannot give you. You've heard it from my teaching, that years ago the Lord spoke to me and said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. I thought he was joking. He will turn you into a sign and wonder when your life is committed to revealing him. Thank God for the applause. Thank God for the wonderful things. And I know how much you love me in this campus and within this state. I know. And I am grateful. I truly am. But let me tell you this. There is one who is the reason why I am what I am and I am where I am. I will be foolish and stupid to forget him. For glory, I will do anything just to see you. To behold you as my king, wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. And God says, your life is surrendered when men clap for you. You enjoy it, but you become an usher. You point them and say, there is one you do not see who is the reason for the miracles. He's the reason for the messages. He's the reason for the anointing. And God says, you are doing this for me. You have a choice to stand and stop the glory, but you now turn and make sure that I am glorified. And his son, you are ready for a new level. Since I have found out that whether my glory is with me or is with you is still the same thing, I am still glorified. So I will not withhold anything from you. I will supply you every grace that you need. Is God speaking to us? Are you following now? So the first price is surrender. I look at us and I see by the Spirit, quite honestly, men and women who are sincere. Men and women who are very honest. But very largely, I do not see men and women who are totally surrendered and are totally willing to be surrendered. And I know and I trust that as you're hearing the Spirit speak to you, something within you is saying, look, this is no longer about being a man of God. This is no longer about being a prophet. This is no longer about prophecy and miracles. This is about you. You get the glory. You get the praise. You take the honor. I just want to say thank you. You get the glory. You get the praise. You take the honor. I just want to say thank you. So in my life, that's a prayer. Be glorified, be glorified. In my life, come on, Lazarus, sing it to your maker. Be glorified, be glorified. Lord, you get the glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just want to say thank you. You get the glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just want to say thank you. Surrender is the name. Where your all, your everything becomes for him. You stand on that board and you see a 5-point. And while people look at you and say, what a genius you are, you say, no, I give him the glory, but this belongs to him. And God says, now this is my son talking. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Have you ever seen a parent? Some of you here are parents. Imagine the joy when you watch your son coming to receive an award and everyone is standing. And then the son does not come to the person presenting the award. The son comes to you and hugs you as a proud father and drags your hand to the award ground and tells them, I'm not only receiving this award, I am here because there is a father and a mentor. And you watch the proud father say, did you say Harvard or Yale? Where did you say you want to go to? Every time a wise son makes a glad father, his sonship is enforced.
You get the glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just want to say thank you.
Listen, I want us by the grace and the Spirit of God and with every ounce of love in my heart, get away from that lifestyle that wants to make you the epicenter of everything. I know it looks desirable. We make it look like when everyone should know I am the one. But you see, in this kingdom, it is when he is seen that you are seen. It is in his light that you see light. And so if he's not glorified, you will do everything it takes for fame, for power, for loyalty. And you will be surprised that you will never find it. Price of total and absolute surrender. Number two. What is the second price for a mighty revival and a mighty outpouring of the Spirit in your life and within a territory? Are you ready for the second key? Access to the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. Please write it down. The second key that affords you the opportunity to host superior dimensions of God's presence and power and grace and glory is access to the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, Jesus is teaching and he says, for it has been given to you to know, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. A mystery is a secret code of operation, a modus operandi that is only privy to a group of people. Are we together? Look at me. Now, don't feel offended if you're a fresh student. But how many of you know that as many as the students on this campus are, if you see a fresh student, you will know. No matter how matured he tries to look, you will know he's a new student, because he will forget to do something that a usual LASU student would not do. Are we together? So something about your not understanding the ways of LASU will betray you, and no, you just got admission. You can see a 100 level lady, for instance, let me crack a joke, see gentlemen coming and she's shy and running, you know that this is a fresh student. But you see a final year student trusting God to push it the last time. She doesn't know whether it's a man or woman on his way coming. Something has happened in the campus and she wants to go. Are we together? In this kingdom, true dominion is on the strength of the mysteries that we know. I will say this again and again. You want to command unusual dimensions of the possibilities of the spirit. You have to know that all those possibilities are predicated upon your understanding the systems of the kingdom. There's a scripture that is like an anthem in my life. Psalm 82, when you read from verse 5 to 7, the Bible says, they know not, verse 5, neither will they understand, it says. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6 says, have I not said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High? Then verse 7 says, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. So the issue is that they know not, neither will they understand. Knowledge is powerful in this kingdom. Two reasons why Jesus wept in the Bible. One of it was to express his love for Lazarus when he died. The Bible says he wept. He loved Lazarus so dearly. The second reason why he wept was he looked over Jerusalem and said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that you would know the things that pertain unto your peace. He says, but now they are hidden from you. Jesus cried when he saw a people who were ignorant, who did not understand the ways and the systems of the kingdom. You will never be able to host the presence and the power and the glory of God in your life and within a territory if you do not have an understanding of the principles and the ways of God. They are called the secrets of the kingdom. And hear what the Bible says. That the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secrets of the Lord. There are secrets in God. Every time you do a thing that should produce an obvious result, and it does not produce an obvious result, it means there is more than your eyes can see. There is a secret. Hallelujah. Number three, are we still together? The third price that you must pay, especially in today's world, if you want to host a revival, is the price for excellence. You will think excellence has nothing to do with revival. No. I was having a brief session with some of your leaders, and I was teaching them again and again about excellence. Excellence is not about being expensive. Listen very carefully. Now, this is where your academics and other major areas of your life come in. The spirit of excellence. Excellence is a culture. Write it down. Culture is defined according to social studies as the way of life of a people. Excellence must be a culture. Write it and shout after me, say excellence. One more time, say excellence. The spirit of excellence can bring a dimension of the presence and the power of God in ways that we cannot imagine. Excellence. Joseph, Daniel, all these were men and women that brought revivals to their territories through the manifestation of the spirit of excellence. What does it mean to be excellent? Right. To be excellent means to surpass ordinary standards. To be excellent means to surpass ordinary standard. The quality of being exceptional. The quality of being exceptional is called excellence. The ability, the fortitude to surpass ordinary standards. When it becomes a culture in your life, when it becomes an intrinsic motivation to always give your best and to insist until everything that proceeds from you is the best, you are excellent. Now let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, do not let anyone downplay the role of excellence in your greatness, in hosting the power of God and influencing a generation for Jesus. Nobody will ever be loyal to and follow a leader and an individual who does not demonstrate a level of excellence. When we play Olympic games, we get to a point where we want to present awards to those we consider to be outstanding, and you find a group of people standing at an elevated platform just like I'm standing, and everybody is clapping for them. They are receiving the fruits of diligence, the fruits of excellence. Excellence is a language. I'm not Yoruba by tribe. So if you begin to communicate in Yoruba now, I could pick a few things, but I'm largely going to be lost because it's not my tribe and I've not been trained to understand it. Are we together? Excellence, hear me, is a language. There are people who understand that language. When you speak it, they will speak back to you. Unfortunately, most of the people that hold the keys you need are excellent people. And you must cultivate a culture of excellence. There are jobs you will never get, no matter how your qualification is, if you do not have the fortitude for excellence. There are certain positions in life that will require meticulousness. You must be excellent. Are we together? Excellence involves the following. If you're writing right, number one, the ability to be very clear and specific. You cannot be excellent with vagueness. There must be clarity. There must be specificity. As a campus fellowship leader, as a pastor, as a student, there must be specificity. There must be clarity. Who does what? When do I do what? And when? For many of us, there is a lot of vagueness around our lives. And you find out that your life is so vague, you are not able to achieve anything substantial. Learn this. If you will ever be excellent, you must be specific. I gave an instance when I was teaching your leaders. Please give me a stone or anything here. Just pick something and give it to me. Now watch this. Assuming this is a very valuable substance, look up everyone. Assuming this is a very valuable substance, okay? If it falls by mistake on this crusade ground now, who is assigned to pick it? If someone just runs from the congregation to carry it, and another protocol officer runs, they are going to injure themselves. Lack of excellence. There is no definition of who does what. You can't blame everybody for everything. No. No. There has to be a systemic approach to your life, organizationally and individually. If someone is to speak on behalf of the students, who is the person? Is it just when you were about to present me an award, which I'm so grateful for, you called your chaplain? He represents the spiritual head over this territory, I believe. And then he came and on your behalf and on behalf of this dear institution presented me the award. I receive it and I'm happy. And I knew who to give it to. Imagine if I put it in my pocket while I'm preaching, because I'm insecure that I just let someone not run with my dear award. You are not excellent when there is vagueness around your life. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me to do your will. I'm not just coming to curse and shadow box and hope that I find something. Excellence requires being clear about your life. Listen, if you are in final year here, I want you to listen twice. Make sure you do not graduate and leave this campus without knowing the details of the blueprint of your life and destiny. You are not just here to hold a degree alone. You know that times have changed. It will take vision to stand you through, to survive the vicissitudes of life and all of the encumbrances that affect the average young man in today's world. You need vision. You need a sense of excellence. Number two, excellence will demand that you are thorough. The insistence to be thorough until you give your best. I want you today to cultivate a resentment for mediocrity. Do not allow any doctrine. Do not allow any mindset. Do not allow any system of mentorship, no matter how well-meaning, guide you into developing an appetite for mediocrity, because you will pay for it. It's a guarantee. The minimum standard for excelling and influencing a generation in our today's world is excellence. Imagine with me, for instance, that I came up here looking shabby, looking like a thief. If I told you God bless you, you would not say amen. You will struggle to say amen. Now I'm anointed, but the presentation must be served with excellence to help your receiving. Imagine that I came up here and as anointed as I believe I am, I wasn't able to communicate my thoughts intelligently in a way that all and sundry, whether a student, whether a staff, imagine that the context of my communication is not sound enough to make you buy into my idea. I'm not edifying you. It takes more than just holding a mic and speaking. You must be thorough. The thoughts and ideas that you receive must be intelligently communicated. A generation will not listen to you just because God called you. You must be sound and articulate your ideas with intelligence. We do not have the privilege of projecting scriptures now. Imagine if I had to wait for every verse to be projected to talk to you. Imagine how I would just disappoint your expectation and dampen your hunger and fire. Imagine if my keyboardist was playing, that's my music director by the way, and then he's number one, imagine that he was playing nonsense, and number two, imagine that I was singing nonsense. Now you are in the spirit about to sing a song and I raise a song off key and I'm not even aware of what I'm doing and I'm frustrating your passion. You are trying to connect, but my lack of excellence, not demons, is disconnecting you. Please hear me, believers. I'm here to shake you off and take away mediocrity from you. Now, truth be told, many of us come from well-meaning families. We come in from different socio-cultural contexts that may not necessarily be vocal about excellence. They will frown at it if you press for it, but there is no intentional press to be excellent. So, by our environmental conditioning, many of us have not been cultured into seeing the need and having the recognition. We have not been trained to see the value in being excellent.
It takes excellence to do ministry. Ministry is not for lazy and careless people. It takes excellence to excel as a student. It takes excellence to not only be employed but to stay and one day to rise to a managerial position. It takes excellence. There are many students today, quite honestly, and I don't mean this with any sense of sarcasm. You ask them to construct a letter and they can't write you a good letter. They write a letter like they are sending an SMS. And so we have so many graduates, and then you communicate with them and you almost think someone went to school for them, because the fortitude for excellence is not there. And yet we keep complaining, there's no job in this Nigeria, they are wicked. I'm in Lagos and I'm not a Yoruba person, that's why they are not giving me a job. Excellence defies culture, excellence defies age, defies gender. Your excellence can veto anything and can cause a man to love you and lift you. Your educational pursuit must be garnished with excellence. Excellence is the tray that you serve your value with for life to reward you. You must be excellent. Excellent at what you do. Insist that I will not rest until I'm excellent. Yes, I grew up in a background where I came from a family that was disadvantaged, you might be saying. Apostle, you may not know my situation. I never had a father, never had a mother. I understand and I honestly sympathize with you. But you must reinvent and re-engineer your mind. Cultivate the fortitude for excellence. You must be excellent. You must be excellent. As a culture, as a mindset, there is a dimension of the grace and the glory of God you can never host when you are not excellent. You're with me? Say amen. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, as we know, recorded in Scripture. And over 70% of those gifts are gifts of intelligence. They require a developed mental faculty to work properly. You need to be excellent. Do not allow spirituality to give you a false motivation to ignore excellence. Every one person who works with me, it is mandated and it is required that you be excellent. I consistently train and build my people. We consistently strive for excellence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you hear the results and what God is doing, it's not just anointing. It's not just he was lucky. No, there is a place for excellence. You are in the choir, be excellent. You are in the prayer department, be excellent. You are a president of a fellowship, be excellent. Excellent in every way. You don't wear a shabby dress and then you don't iron it, you don't care, your shoe is torn, you don't care. No sir, don't say it does not matter. You are shabby, your hair is not combed, you are rough, you are looking very scattered. Would you be worthy of listening at that point? Why do you think heaven is as excellent as it is? No 24 elder does the work of angels. No angel does the work of elders. You don't get to heaven and someone quickly comes. No. God has never had the pressure to stand up on his throne and go around heaven to check whether there's rebellion, because excellence is the climate that governs heaven. Everything is done in order. Everything is done in decency. You must cultivate that culture, because the mandate that is that it be done in your life and in the earth as it is in heaven. Say, I receive grace. One more time, shout it, Lasso. I receive grace to be excellent. I receive grace to rise above mediocrity. Are we together? You're selling food. Package it well. Don't just sell something that looks like a charm. Serve it with excellence. Are we together? Yes. your leading prayers, communicate intelligently. Don't stand and make people feel bad for coming for fellowship. No. Sit down, do your homework, articulate the relevant scriptures, communicate it intelligently. You come to sing, don't tell people focus on the words, not the melody. Then recite a poem. If you must sing, sing with excellence. If you are not gifted, don't feel bad. Now listen very carefully. While you are hearing me, don't just clap and hope someone hears it. Listen, is God speaking to everyone? You must be excellent. If you want unbelievers to come to your fellowship, it's not enough to pray and fast. The atmosphere must be worthy of reception. Sweep the ground before the fellowship. Don't come and there are pieces of papers and there are people crying. God is not stupid. Let's not make God look as if he's an opinion for weak people and mediocres. Present God as a personality worth receiving. Let's show that excellence and spirituality can go hand in hand. Now, I'm glad I'm the one teaching this, because many times when you hear people teach on excellence, you think they are intimidated because they do not have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and they don't have spiritual depth, so they are replacing it with excellence. Gone are the days where you are asked to choose whether to be excellent or spiritual. That's demonic. They go hand in hand. Excellence came out of spirituality. Say in the name of Jesus. Shout it. Say in the name of Jesus. From tonight, I receive grace to be excellent. So when you go back to your room, go and sweep your room. Go and wash those plates that are 3 days under the bed. Wash it. Are we together now? Yes. Be excellent. Wash your underwears. Don't just pray. You are a great president. Thank you. You are anointed. Thank you. But there is a dimension of the glory of God that mediocrity will take out of your life. Are we together? Please listen very carefully. Don't move around and sag your jeans to your leg and just walk and move. I don't condemn you, don't get me wrong, but you will never be followed like that. Every leader must be leader worthy to be followed. I hope you like what I'm teaching you. Don't squeeze your book and carry, as the president of a fellowship, you are going to fellowship and you are picking a Gideon's International, putting it in your pocket and walking down and wondering why the people are not listening to you. Listen, hear me. Everybody is first a human being before a member of your fellowship. Don't make men dogs just because they are members of your fellowship. Treat them with honor and give an atmosphere and a persona that is worthy of loyalty to. Nobody will just submit to a leader that does not show like he knows what he's doing. Last week, God blessing you. Clean your room. You may have only one trouser, but wash it with honor and dignity. Polish your shoes. You cannot pledge because you don't have the money. No problem. Comb it and be proud of your current level, because tomorrow God will bless you. Are we together now? Be excellent. You are going to make your defense. You are going to present in a practical before lecturers. Don't go looking shabby and rude. You go there putting your hand in your pocket and they are looking at you. They love God, but not all of them are born again. Someone will be angry and vow that under his watch, because of your immaturity, you will not graduate. That's a needless battle that mediocrity brought for you. Same thing with people going to look for jobs. They go to look for jobs. They enter in a place of interview and they've sat down with no one telling them to sit down. They put their hands. What's your name? My name is this. What did you say? Please, my name is this. You are looking for a job at your terms. And they just ask you, okay, God bless you, you'll hear from us. And that's the end of it. They throw your paper and squeeze it. There are two ways to bind Satan: by deliverance and by knowledge. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Are we together? Give your very best. Don't carry your notebooks and squeeze them. Don't go to church. Hear me, believers. Don't go to church with some tiny jotter. Get an exercise book. Take your destiny serious. Buy a Bible. Even if you have a soft copy, buy a Bible. Buy a jotter. Even if you are going to use a device, coordinate what you are doing. Make sure you are excellent. Are we together now? You have one jotting in this note, another one in this note, another one in one piece of paper. You just stroll around going, no, don't do that. Don't feel condemned. But let me tell you the truth. You must cultivate that culture tonight. Say, I will be excellent. Yes. When God gives you 30,000, don't use it to buy a shoe. Use it to buy iron. Use it to buy a hardcover notebook. Use it to buy rechargeable or a device where you can listen to a message and bless yourself. Are we together? Leave the issue of shoe. I've told you yesterday, why fake what will be real? Whoever laughs at you is not wise. Tomorrow you will not buy a shoe. You will own a company that makes them. So why rush? Be patient. Don't be under unnecessary pressure. Be proud of where you are and be committed to being excellent at the level you are. Prepare your offering before ushering day, before the fellowship day. Don't just sit down and then an offering basket is passing. You remove 1,000, you keep it back. You remove 500, you keep it back. You remove 20 naira, the new one, you keep it. You carry the old one, usher come and you drop it. You are not excellent. Are we together? And then you must be excellent in communication. Look at me. You better listen to what I'm teaching you. And let it trend on this campus that God is an excellent God. And that if you want to truly be spiritual, part of the components that must be captured in your spirituality is excellence. I teach my people something I want to teach you. Because the first area that reflects your excellence is in your communication. Are we together? There are four clauses or phrases I would use, expressions that I teach people and I'm going to teach you. Ready? Number one is called thank you. Everybody say thank you. Shout it, Lasso. Say thank you. One more time. Say thank you. Thank you is an expression of appreciation. Every time someone does something nice, what do you say? One more time. Don't feel too big. Say it. Thank you. When you say thank you, you are programming more seasons of favor. Gratitude is the seed for more. You must have the fortitude to say thank you. If I'm nice to you 30 times, don't say thank you twice. Someone sends you money and you say thank you. He sends you money and you say, after all, I said it before, you understand now. No, say thank you again. A lecturer helps you. Upgrade your score. Thank you, sir. I'm just here to tell you how much I honor you and I appreciate you. Learn to say thank you and see the revival that comes. A sociological revival. Everyone shout it. Say thank you. You don't come to your roommates or come to your friend's room and eat everything and just belt and stretch your hand and say, I have prayer band. No, sir. Say thank you. Don't just pray, no, thank you so much, my friend. I love you so much. I know that things are not exactly the way they should be now, but in Jesus' name, the word is working for me. Thank you for giving me Gary. Thank you for giving me this. Your friend will look at you and say, anytime you are hungry, come back, because you have told him thank you. The same friend that can say, the next time I see you in my room, I will report you to the security. Many people have lost battles because they cannot say thank you. Turn to someone and say thank you. Shout it with all your heart. Say thank you. Thank you for cleaning my chair for me. Thank you for helping me sit down well. My handkerchief fell down. Thank you for helping me pick it up. You must learn to communicate gratitude. You are a final year student. You have graduated. Why don't you take out time? Go to your faculty. Sir, I just want to say thank you. By the grace of God, I'm now a graduate. And they say, in case you want to be a lecturer in this school, come back and talk to me. Even God, he said, enter his gates, Psalm 100, with thanksgiving. The gates of heaven only opens when you say thank you. Oh God, you gave me tea. Where is the bread? You will never see that bread. But Lord, I thank you because you gave me tea. And God says, oh, bread is coming. Be patient. Lord, you even added bread. I don't deserve it, but I'm grateful. Oh, blue band is coming. Oh, I'm bringing. Until he gives you a bakery. From tea, you own a bakery because of thanksgiving. Excellence. One more time, say thank you. Look at me. Your parents send you money. You didn't say, did I ask you to give birth to me? Send it, Jared. No. They pay your school fees. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are a gentleman. You learn to say thank you. You will find a wife. You are a lady. You learn to say thank you. You find a good husband. They interview you and you fail the interview woefully. But before you leave, you just say, sir, I just want to truly appreciate you for even giving me the opportunity to come. They say, that's it. Whatever he answered is no longer the issue again. This looks like my secretary. Thank you. Are you ready for the second word? Number two, I'm sorry. Write it down. Not sorry. I am sorry. Not sorry. Who is sorry? Write it down. You're receiving mentorship tonight. We're going to pray shortly. You have to be excellent. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry is a communication that you can be better. It's the unashamedness to express that you are human and that as all humans we can make mistakes. It's like saying you know better today than you knew yesterday. There's nothing embarrassing about saying I'm sorry. Nations have gone for war because someone cannot say I'm sorry. People have lost their jobs because they cannot tell their superior I'm sorry. Favor has closed over people because they can't say I'm sorry. People have even lost their eternity because they cannot say, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it, but I come to you. The prodigal son said, how many hired servants does my father have? And I'm here just scrounging with the pigs. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am not worthy to be called your son. Take me now as one of your servants. The Bible says, as the father saw him afar off, he ran and came to him. I'm sorry. You left food on my stove and you burnt it. I'm so sorry. I was in a hurry because I have something. I had a work to do in church and I'm the one leading the opening prayer. I truly apologize. I thought I off the stove. No, what is there? Are we not humans? Your own turn will come. No. Don't act like that. Be excellent. Are we together? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You came and you just saw food in the pot. You didn't ask who it was for. And you just ate and ate with your friends. Why did you do that? I'm sorry. I really am sorry. It's true. I take responsibility. I apologize. I'm sorry. Tell your neighbor, I'm sorry. Say it again. Don't be too proud to say it. Say, I'm sorry. Listen, look at me. For as long as you are on this earth, knowingly or unknowingly, you will offend someone. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm sorry. I tell my leaders today, I'm sorry. There are times that because of my schedules, I can keep them waiting. There are times that they remind me of something to approve and I forget. I'm sorry. I keep appointments with people and sometimes I may disappoint them because of contingencies that arise. I can't say, don't you know that I'm a man of God? No, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Add this to your anointing and see how glorious you will look. Number three, are you ready? The third communication that I want to teach you in helping you to be excellent, even on that wise, is a very simple word. Please. Everybody say please. Shout it, say please. Don't pick the call and someone is trying to call you to ask for your account. Call me back and you cut it. No. No. Don't act like that. Show like you are someone who is both spiritual and educated. Are we together? Please help me. Can you pick this for me? Thank you. Do this. No, I'm joking. Thank you. Now, you see the joy that he ran. Imagine that I order you. I am God's servant. No. Please. Please is a show of courtesy. It's proof that you value people. It's not enough to value God. You must value men too. Please, can you help me with that chair? Can you help me with this? And then you back it up. Thank you when they do it. Please, can you help me dry my clothes? I'm in a hurry. I may not be able to come back to my room. Or I may not do this. Please, I want you to help me. And you see the person saying, with all pleasure, I will do it. Don't order people around. Whether you are an executive of a fellowship or you are an individual, don't abuse the loyalty, please. The last expression, God bless you. Shout it. One more time. It's a very powerful word. The word bless means to empower so that you excel, to empower so that you prosper. Is a language that is still used today, even in Israel, by people who are both born again and are not born again. It's a cultural cliche. God bless you. Write it in your text. When are we going to see, sir? Okay, we could see between 8 or 9. Thank you. God bless you. Can I come now, sir? Well, just be a little patient. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Imagine telling that to your friends. Oh, God bless you. Bless you, sir. Pastor, you have now started. They will laugh at you for only 1 week. Then they will start doing it. That's usually what people do. When they are intimidated, they mock you. And then when you are consistent, they bend to your values. Say, God bless you. So let's do a quick review. What's number one? Intelligent people. You've forgotten, it's too early. What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? One more time. What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? Hashtag it and send it all over your campus that God is doing something new, regardless of fellowship. When you see someone shouting and insulting someone, say, no, it's a new order now in this campus. We are excellent people. Don't shout at a lady like that. Don't insult her like that. If she has offended you, take it easy. And you two ladies, when they talk to you, say thank you. Don't shout and say, I'm an angry person. No, it's just that I'm born again. You don't know my mother. That's why I inherited. No, don't talk like that. Hallelujah. By the time you go back home, or for some of you who stay with your loved ones, and you buy, even if it's fight for life, and go and meet them and say, mommy, I just came to say thank you. Say, for what? It's not my birthday. because they are used to you not saying thank you until his birthday. You say nothing. I attended a crusade here, and a man of God came and taught me something, that there is a secret to revival. That excellence. Excellence. You do that and you see how beautiful your life becomes. Everybody wants to listen to you because your words are well constructed to communicate honor, to communicate grace. Everybody wants to marry you. Everybody wants to be with you. I mean, who does not want a mother that will raise children like this? Who does not want a father that will mentor a family? What member will not want a pastor like this? So while we get angry that many unbelievers are not coming to our churches and fellowships and groups, could it be that among the many things that restrain the hand of God is this inability to understand the systems of excellence? Learn it. Learn it. Are we together? But may I remind you, as I round up the third point again, that excellence pays. Every part of your life, campus presidents, teach and mentor your people to be excellent, regardless of the denomination. God is an excellent God. Encourage them to excel in their academics. Encourage them. Don't crash read 2 days to your exams. Take out time and begin to study. The mind does not assimilate like that. Take out time to study. Be intelligent. Be intentional. You have an assignment. Don't do the assignment 5 minutes to submission. You will not give your best. It will not be a true revelation of your potential. Allocate time. Wake up in the night. Discipline yourself. If it takes you praying in tongues while you are doing the assignment, Lord, I receive grace. You do your best. And the Lord says, the way you are faithful in this assignment, that's how you build me a church tomorrow. She's watching you. You are qualifying for ministry through your diligence, even in your classwork. Are we together? If you miss a class and you miss your notes, get a friend and photocopy it. Don't say it doesn't matter. Heaven helps those who help them. Don't. Leave out some of those wise sayings that may not bless you. Be diligent. Get up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise. Not I. Oh boy, Nigeria. Man, don't wake. Don't talk like that. You are not training yourself to be a pusher of a truck. You are a leader. Culture your understanding and your words. Act like one. You get up in the morning, fix your bed. Don't leave your pillow around and say, after all, I mean, no. No. You go to my room in the hotel now. My bed and every place there is made. I will never leave the room and not make my bed. Although it's a hotel, although you have people there, I never check out of a hotel leaving the place dirty. Never. Never. You will never find it. Not Joshua Selman. It's a culture, supervised or not. You're shocked now. You think it's just about prayer and revelation. No. There are many things that make you who you are. When you do all of this, they make you Beulah and Hephzibah. You become a delight of nations. The last prize, and then we're done. Are you blessed? Just pray in the spirit for 2 or 3 minutes. Just to absorb what you have heard. Because the last point now is going to crown it all. Pray in the spirit. Lord, I receive grace to be totally surrendered, that my all will be committed in seeking you. Not just my hands, not just my mind, my entire spirit, soul, body, the entire tripartite nature of mine will seek you. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing hearts.
what I've come to do. I cast my crowns and I lift my hands. I bow my heart. It's what I've come to do. And I will rise in your name.
That's what is happening to you.
Adonai, hey, you reign on high. In your name, I will rise. Adonai, you reign on high. Adonai, 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 you reign on high. Adonai, 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 you reign on high.
Keep praying 2-3 minutes. Lord, the time has come to change my destiny. Pray, pray, Lasso. Hallelujah. Sit down. Let me have your attention. Please be sensitive now. A lot is going to begin to happen in this place. You've laughed, celebrated. It's time to really receive. The fourth key, the fourth prize to hosting God in your life, your territory, is to possess an unusual dimension of the anointing. Not just the anointing, an unusual dimension of the power of God.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Yeah. Feel this temple with your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Say na 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 na. Fill this temple with your presence. I wait on you, Lord, I wait on you. I wait on you, Lord, I wait on you. I wait on you, Lord, I wait on you. I wait on you, Lord. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
Come on, Lasso.
Fill me up.
Say.
Feel me, God. Feel me, God. Feel me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna Fill me up till I overflow. Shina la 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 la. Shina ma la la ma shina la 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 la.
One more time.
Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over.
Please sit down. The anointing is the one ingredient. Please help those under the anointing. Just help them. You don't have to bring them out yet. Just help them. I want you to be sensitive. Ah. Sabakatoshia hasabash. Legretos kadabrahata katishi bekata. Ande kasada bakatosha brahasane baladash. Embreko sabahashila hasada katoprahasine katevalakata. Shalande krasada bahasokata balakatosh.
An unusual dimension of the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Listen carefully. Listen to me.
The anointing is God's ability upon a vessel that causes you to produce His dimension of results. The anointing is God's own power. Physics defines power as work done, energy expanded per unit time. That's the definition of the anointing. God's power, His ability, His energy, His possibilities vested upon a human or material vessel that causes you to produce results at a dimension that only God can produce.
Hear me, brothers and sisters. The challenges that plague mankind cannot be solved by human ability. The Bible says it is not by might. It says it is not by power. It says it is by my spirit.
You need the power of God for revival to come upon your life and your campus. There are forces of darkness that it will take the power of God to ward them off. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways. It says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. It takes power to see signs and wonders manifest. It takes power to excel in your exams, where there are forces that want to manipulate your mind and frustrate your stay on campus. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes power to win souls and draw them to come and be established. It takes power. Power is not for preachers. Power is not for men of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a requirement that must be at work in your life if you must reign into this world. It takes the anointing to excel in business. It takes the anointing to pass the course that you call difficult. You've seen students fail around, but you are coming, and like David, you stand before that Goliath. You say, you come before me with your spears, but I come. There is an advantage. I may be young, I may be small, but I'm not alone. I come with an advantage. It's called the anointing. Said, my head shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. He said, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. It takes the anointing to prosper. Thou anointed my head with oil, not my cup. It is my head that is anointed, but then my cup overflows. The result is still in my cup, but it's because of what is on my head. It takes the anointing for men to listen to you. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came upon them and the anointing was upon them, the Bible says they listened to them and they were caught to the heart. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Pastor, it will take the anointing to command results. It's more than a good intention. It's more than sincerity of character. When all is said and done, no one will sit in your fellowship if their lives are not changed. When they come and sit under your anointing, and all doors that are closed
Ghost opens, all yokes that bind them leave. You will not need to cajole them to come back. No. Come and see a man that has shown me everything I've done. Come and see him. It takes the anointing to pray. It takes more than good intention. It takes a quickening of the spirit that you pray. It takes the anointing for your eyes to be open. Otherwise, this Bible will become a novel and a storybook. You will read and read and be frustrated. But then when your eyes is open and your understanding becomes fruitful, a straight line will be drawn for you from Genesis to Revelation. And then you see, the Bible says there is a part which no fowl has seen. The whelps of the lion has not gotten there. Fetching dimensions in the spirit. It takes the anointing to preach the gospel. It doesn't just take understanding the message. It takes the anointing. And the Lord himself walking with them, confirming the word with signs. When men know that when they sit under your grace and the anointing, their lives will change. They will defy anything. They will pay any price. Just like some of you have come sick. Just like some of you have come depressed. Some of you, nobody has excelled in your family. But I congratulate you in advance. You are about to see a display of the possibilities of the kingdom. God is about to rubbish Satan this night in your life in a way that enthrones him again and again. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup. Man of God, could this be the missing link? It is true that God has called you, but what evidence do you have? It is true that you are anointed. Final year brethren, could it be that this is what you have been praying for? You know that without the anointing you may not graduate and haven't done all. Could it be that this factor that represents the advantage is what you need in your life? There may be people here who are well-meaning pastors and leaders. Could this be why you tell people God bless you and nobody says amen? Because there is a track record of your words not coming to pass.
Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run.
Listen. How does the anointing come into your life? Number one, by prayer and fasting. Luke chapter 4. The Bible declares that when Jesus came out, having been baptized by Prophet John, the Bible says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Listen very carefully. When the Holy Ghost drove him into the wilderness, the Bible says he was there praying and fasting over a period of 40 days. And then Satan comes to him and tempts him. Having overcome Satan, the Bible declares that he returned in the power. He went full of the Holy Ghost, but not with the power. He returned in the power. He went full of the Holy Ghost, but he returned in the power. He went full of the Holy Ghost, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible declares that his fame went abroad immediately. Hear me. It takes power to wipe the tears of your crying mother. It takes more than counseling. The messianic prophecy, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach glad tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to open the prison doors to them that are bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, he says, and the day of the vengeance of our God. It says to give them beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. All that is because the spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when Jesus came in Luke chapter 4, when you begin to read from verse 15, the Bible declares that he stood in the temple and the scroll of Isaiah was given to him, and he recounted that messianic prophecy and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. And he told a man with a withered hand, let me prove to you that the spirit is upon me, stretch forth your hand. Prayer and fasting, let me tell you this, I like us to value the ministry of prayer and fasting. There is a kind that does not go except by prayer and fasting. There is a kind that goes by wisdom. There is a kind that goes by prayer. There is a kind that goes by prayer and fasting. We must be men and women of prayer. We must be men and women that fast. Don't let your food destroy your destiny. Don't let your stomach close the gates of your destiny. Some of you are the first God is counting on to rise up in your family. It takes power. Zechariah chapter 1 from verse 18. Son of man, what seest thou? And he says, I see four horns. These are the horns that have lifted up themselves against Israel, against Jerusalem, against Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. He said, but I have sent four carpenters, and those carpenters will terrorize those horns. It takes power for your church to continue to grow. It takes power for your academics to rise. Your CGPA is a living thing. It takes power. It can hear. You have been talking as a man. Talk as an anointed man and see what happens. It takes power to fulfill your destiny. It takes more than vision. Vision is wonderful. But my brothers and my sisters, today's world requires power. Requires the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The second key to being unusually anointed is the mystery of impartation. Hallelujah. Sorry for the breaking transmission. Ezekiel chapter 2 from verse 2. And the Spirit entered me. The Spirit entered me. Not the words. And the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me. The Spirit, he told me to arise, but I was too weak to rise. Then he used words and transferred spirit to me. And the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. It takes impartation. What is impartation? The transference of spiritual possibilities. Impartation. It's not just the laying on of hands. Impartation is not just the transference of oil or the putting of oil on your head. All of those things are just mediums and systems of impartation. But the primary revelation of impartation is that impartation is a spiritual system that makes for transference. And they are all, listen, look at me. Your possibilities in this life, please give me volume, Mike. Your possibilities in life are predicated upon the kind and the dimension of anointing that is upon you. Listen very carefully. Anointing is in levels, and the anointing is in dimensions. I'm not teaching on the anointing tonight. That means you can have a greater level of the same thing, or you can have another dimension. The healing anointing will not give you speed. It was not allocated for speed. It will cause the sick to be healed every time, but your life can be in delay even carrying the healing anointing. Every dimension of life, the anointing is not generic in operation. I think it's a mistake many people make. So they say, I'm anointed just because a man of God laid hands on me. No. There are different dimensions of the anointing, and there are different kinds of the anointing. Psalm 89, when you read from verse 20, I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him, whom my hand has holden. I will beat down his foes before him, etc., etc. And he says, in my glory shall his horn be exalted. I have found my servant David. Now let me share with you as we begin to pray. I promised you that I was going to share with you my encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I will summarize it very quickly because of time. There is a reason why I share this encounter. I'm inspiring you tonight. Once upon a time, my hunger and my desperation, listen very carefully. Got to a point where I knew if God did not reveal himself to me, I probably would just die. Listen carefully. I was tired of religion. I was tired of watching sick people come and go. I was tired of watching oppressed people come and go. I asked a lot of people what the problem was, and no one seemed to give me an intelligent answer. And I made up my mind that I would seek God for myself. And then one night, I was lying down quietly in my room, and then something happened. A stranger, the creator of the ends of the earth, walks into my room. Not angel Gabriel. I've seen the saints of old. I've seen lots of men and women that you read about in your Bible. But then the majesty himself would come. When Jesus stepped into my room, my God, how do I describe him?
I will praise the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. I will worship and give a praise to him alone. He who was and is and is to come, I will sing before his throne forever.
When Jesus stepped into my room, I don't know whether he came through a door or he passed through a wall. I still cannot tell you. I know Jesus was standing before me. Brothers and sisters, I was like a speck of dust before the sun. Brightness of light at his brilliance. I know what Apostle Paul said when he said that great light appeared to him. The Bible says that light was the life of men. When Jesus stood before me, I saw his glory. You've heard me say it. I still don't know how he looks. I don't know what part of him I was looking at. You could look at any part of him forever. As a human being, if I look at your legs after a minute or two, I'm tired. I want to look at something else, but not him. The perfection of beauty. I looked at Jesus and wondered. So this is the Jesus that I've been preaching about. Do I really know him? This is the Jesus I saved souls for. This is the Jesus I was doing evangelism for. Now he's standing before me and he's a stranger. And I said, many preachers need to know him all. I understand Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died,
I, Isaiah, saw the Lord. Exalted high above the worship of the people of the earth, I've seen the Lord. It's not a special number. I've seen the Lord. For my eyes have seen the King, you're the Lamb upon the throne, you reign forever. I saw Jesus. Notice, when he stood before me, he never spoke a word, yet he was communicating to me. That was when I knew that in the realm of the spirit, you do not have to open your mouth to speak. The language of the spirit is light, not words. Light. The entrance of thy word, what does it give? Light. The language of God is not Hebrew, it's not Greek, it's not Yoruba, it's not Igbo, it's not Aramaic. The language of the spirit is light. As he was looking at me, his eyes were speaking to me, his countenance was speaking to me. I didn't know what was happening to me. When the Bible says be still and know, it's a revelation. Now listen carefully, we're about to pray. And then this is the hallmark of the encounter. Jesus stretches his hands towards me, gigantic hand, and he stretched, and light like the sun in its brilliance left his hand. How it did not kill me is a mystery I cannot explain. No human being should receive that level of emission and be alive. When that light entered me, all of a sudden, it took me more than 1 year to recover. That's why when people say they've seen Jesus, I just keep quiet. The Jesus I saw, if you see him, your life will never be ordinary. It will take you more than 1 year to become a human being again. Are we together? Now listen. Hold on, Mike. When Jesus appeared to me, don't bring them in front. Just keep them. I'm going to pray for them. Just keep them somewhere. Now listen carefully. The light from him, listen carefully. That light came to me. And as soon as that light came to me, I didn't even know what happened. All of a sudden, I opened my Bible, and in a strange way, I started seeing things I never saw. What happened to my mind? Where did this mystery come from? I would lie down to sleep and wake up in the morning and my Bible is already open to chapters. What is this? Lord, what are you doing to me? My life changed. Now, several years later, listen now, the Lord would instruct me and say, son, every time I send you to a place, a campus, a church, that light that came from me to you, make sure someone within that crowd receives that same light. That's why I came tonight. Because I believe with all my heart, Lasso, that scattered in this crowd is someone who has been praying, fasting. Your mother prophesied to you when you were small that you will be mightily used. I want to announce to you that the time has come. Tonight and in a few minutes, I'm going to be praying for the sick. I apologize, I'm not going to take our time. We have to respect the system. I know that many of you need to leave. But just be a bit patient with me and let me pray for you. The most important part of the prayer is this impartation. Because I believe that someone,
there is a portal and a gate that must be opened over this campus tonight.
Mantles are falling here tonight. Anointings are falling here tonight. Graces are falling here tonight. Elijahs are rising here tonight. Seraphs are rising here tonight. For the kings to be born, for revival to return, for the kings to arise, for revival to be done. Ali Ali O, Ali O, Ali Ali O, oh, Ali Ali O, Ali O.
One prayer point alone. My Father, the grace and the mantle for my destiny that will shift me to a new level. I open up my spirit. Go ahead and pray. Come on, Lasso. I thought there are men and women of prayer upon this campus.
Shena mane masena na na na, shena na na.
Hallelujah. Now listen, very quickly I'm going to pray for the sick now, and all over this place, because of time, I know that we may not have time to take testimony. I wish we did. Maybe we'll just take, even if it's just 4 or 5. Let's prove in this campus that Jesus is Lord. Are we together? And then I will just do the impartation and speak over your life. I'm going to pray for the sick shortly now. Whether it is you or someone who is sick, I want you, while I instruct you, to just make contact with that part of your body. I want to speak now.
I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is you. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. I cry, holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Yahweh is here. Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh,
Now lift your hands, everybody. I want to pray. You may just shift back. I want you to bring those under the anointing. Right now, at the count of 3, I want to stretch my hand. I'm seeing a grace, and I'm seeing written in the air, breakthrough. There is an anointing for strange breakthrough that is coming. At the count of 3, may that grace come upon you. 1, 2, 3, let that grace come. Take that grace now. Receive that fire now. Bring them out.
Breakthrough.
I open that closed door by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I decree and I declare. I decree and I declare. I decree and I declare. I decree that an ordinance in the spirit. Let that door be open right now. Lift your hands, everyone. I want to pray. There are forces that are holding the destinies of men. At the count of three, I want you to shout Jesus. It's a shout on this campus. The healer is a shout of victory. And as you shout, every force of darkness must let you go. Are you ready? I declare in the realm of the spirit tonight that as God's people shout, let every power give way. Are you ready? One, two, get ready. Three, I command that power. I command that force. Go, 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 go. Give way now by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Please help them. Be sensitive, guys. Be sensitive so they don't injure themselves. Shena malana masena nana, shere mananina, shena manana nana maria nana ma. Shabakatos kada balahaswa da bakatos. Your life will never be the same. Never be the same. Now listen. Listen to me. There's a crowd of people here. So whether you are an usher or not, when someone is under the anointing close to you, don't just sit back and watch them. Even if you are praying, help them so they don't injure themselves. Please. I want to pray for you now. Lift your hands. I want to pray for the sick. But before then, I'm seeing a mantle of healing. I'm seeing the number 41. There are 41 people in this place. Please be careful so that they don't injure anybody. Help them. Right now, oh God of heaven, I declare and I decree, there are men and women that must carry this anointing. Where are they, oh God? At the count of three, like a tornado, let this grace fall upon this campus. One, two, three. Take the healing anointing. Receive that grace, that fire of healing, of revival, from the front to the back. I decree, I declare, I decree, I declare. Please help them. Help everyone close to you. About to pray for the sick now. Lay your hands where you are trusting God for a miracle now. I want to pray for you.
You are here, working miracles. I worship you. I worship you.
Lay your hands there.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. Way make miracle walk from his skin. light in the darkness. That is who you are. Waymaker, faith, miracle walker, promise, light in the darkness.
I'm ready to pray now. Agree with me as I pray. Now listen. Listen please, very quickly. We have to respect the time. But this is what I want you to do. There will be mighty miracles in this place now. As soon as I pray for you and I declare over your life, I know that our time is gone, but if you can clear a little space for me here, the moment the power of God touches you, I want you to run there. Let me have just one or two people that will confirm them. Victor, please help them. Let them know what to do. As soon as they confirm them, we'll take one or two testimonies at least, and then I pray for you, and then I'll do the final impartation and we're done. Is that fine? Lay your hands now. I want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, Lasso, agree with me. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now I command every devil of infirmity, every spirit from hell that is responsible for any sickness, just help those under the anointing while I pray. I command that spirit, I speak as one sent, and I declare, be gone now in the name of Jesus. Be gone now in the name of Jesus. Now I declare over you, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed in the name of Jesus. I command every chest pain, go now. Ulcer, I command, be gone now. In the name of Jesus Christ, every blood infection, I decree and declare, be healed from it now. The Lord is healing Isle. I'm seeing the Lord heal Pile. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. There is a lady, you have been having the issue of blood, whether it's your cycle or not, you have severe and painful bleeding. As I'm praying right now, it's stopping right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord is showing me at least up to 11 people with a lump on one or both of your breasts. I command that lump to disappear right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Migraine is being healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command heaviness in the body to go right now in Jesus' name. There's someone, you have a boil around your armpit region. I'm going to pray you will not find it again in the name of Jesus Christ. Every blind eye here, I command that eye be opened now. Partial or complete blindness, be opened now. Every deaf ear, be opened now. Everyone who cannot walk, I speak life to your limbs now. Every organ of your body that is faulty or destroyed, I give life to it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm seeing a lady with a heart condition. You were born with it. The Lord is healing you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm seeing someone, you're feeling like fire go through your back, just your region, the back region, is the power of the Holy Ghost, and that sickness is leaving you right now. Severe migraine, you can't even study because of that headache, is leaving you right now in Jesus' name. I'm seeing someone with a problem at your molar, severe pain. I command healing right now. In the name of Jesus, there's someone with a severe pain around your lap. I don't know what it is that happened to you, but there is very excruciating pain. Right now, I release the power of God to your body. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now, whether I mention your case or not, I declare be healed right now. Some of you were already healed yesterday. Some of you were healed whilst I was preaching. Some of you, as you fell under the anointing, Something just left you. Now I'm going to ask you to do what you couldn't do, and you will be surprised. The moment the power of God touches you, I like you to leave, no matter how far you are. You check yourself and you can do something you couldn't do. File very quickly and come this way while we clap. Look at what God is doing. Now check yourself, everyone. I declare, look at what God is doing. Miracles are happening here. Mighty miracles. Look at this. Look at this woman has been healed. Look at this. I saw them carry her and brought her here. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. They carried this woman here. Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Keep coming. Keep coming. Jesus is touching people. Check yourself now. Do what you couldn't do. Make your way boldly to the front. We are going to take a few testimonies right now.
What are you turning to wine?
Come on, Lasso.
Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Hey, none like you. It's into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm seeing someone. You don't hear. I don't know if it's that you don't hear well, or you don't hear totally with your left ear. Check it. A left ear just open now. A left ear just open now. Check it and make your way out quickly. There's someone you can't see well in the night, but I'm seeing the power of God touch you. You are seeing me clearly from where you are. Check quickly. Victor, let me know when they are ready, please.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than every other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Hey! Our God is greater. God, you are higher than any other. Awesome in power, our God.
Mighty God. God is still touching people. Are you ready now? Please make sure we confirm them. Victor, are you there? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, we will not take too long. I apologize to the management. I don't intend to keep us more than necessary. Just a few minutes. But God is touching people. Please make sure you check yourself. You are healed. If you are, then you can come out. Supernaturally. I'm seeing someone. It's like appendicitis. A situation that has been for you like appendicitis. Right now, the power of God is touching you. Completely. Completely. It's going right now. Whoever that person is, I'm seeing an angel of the Lord touch that person. Very quickly. Are you ready? Is okay, he's not ready. Let me know if you are ready. Okay, quickly. Please sit for a while. A few minutes. Quickly. Someone lead them, come up, and usher, follow them, please. Victor, you should know. Tell them what to do, please. Let an usher come so that nobody falls on the ground here. Okay. No, just your name. Come stand very boldly. Just tell us your name. President, you hold the mic. Your name and what God did for you. Come this way. Quickly, quickly, please.
Praise the Lord. My name is Victor. I was sitting there and I...
Where were you sitting?
Just in front.
Okay.
I believed that I just knew something was going to happen to me today. So while I came, normally I have... A blurry eyes. I don't see.
Blurry eyes.
Yes.
For how long?
For since secondary school.
Okay.
And also I had a permanent catarrh.
Catarrh.
Yes.
And what happened tonight?
Ceased, sir.
Completely. You can see clearly now.
Ceased.
My God. Look at this. You're breathing in and out.
And I can see, sir.
You can see very clearly. Come on, Lasso. Come on, Lasso. In the name of Jesus, never returns to you. Help them. Okay, so you keep them closer here. Now you understand what to do, right? Okay, God bless you. Thank you. Next person, quickly.
The words you speak turn things around.
Help me.
You took away
Hold on. What's this? What's going on?
I came because of my child.
Okay.
Her neck was not firm at all.
Her neck was not firm. Oh my God, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. My goodness. My goodness. Look at the woman crying. Her neck could not move since birth. And what happened now? And I'm moving her neck. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall with your power. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here. Hold on. In the name of Jesus, baby, oh my God, this is a real miracle. Neck could not move. In Jesus' name, I lay my hands. Perfection for both your baby and you. Help them. Help them. Please. Someone hold the baby. Huh? Okay, or just hold the woman. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless you. Please make sure you hold them down while they are going. God bless you. Perfected. Next person. Quickly. Miracles are happening here. Okay, here. Just stand at the other side. Let them be in the middle of me and you. Okay, beautiful.
I'm Mrs. Adeni, your mother's father.
What's your name, ma?
Mrs. Adeni.
Please help us with the mic. Let it be loud. Okay.
When you were ministry.
Look at the woman is even under the anointing.
I've been chronic order of 25 years.
Is it okay if you just shift this away? So that the people can see. Ulcer for how long?
For 25
years. 25 years.
I live on drugs every day.
Every day?
Yes.
And what happened tonight, ma?
When you said fire is coming up at the back of somebody.
And you were the one.
And the pain.
And it's gone now.
And I can't.
Oh my God. You can bend. Bend, ma. Stand up. Stand up. Bend again. No pain. Jesus. Look at this. In Jesus' name, it never returns to you. Look what God is doing in your campus last week. Come. How many of you saw this lady? They were carrying her somewhere. Who saw her? Who saw her when they carried her? Okay. Go ahead. Tell us your testimony, my dear. What's your name?
Okay.
She's under the anointing. Just be sensitive so that the power of God is still on her. Yes, go ahead.
10 years of pressure.
10 years.
On my chest, they said it's asthma.
Asthma?
Yes.
You can't talk, you can't breathe.
I can't breathe. It happens every month.
Every month?
Yes.
And what happened this night?
This night I felt the air.
Look at. That's the devil. The light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. My dear, put your hand on your chest. I command that spirit, leave her and never return. Now, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Healed forever, perfected forever. God bless you. Give Jesus praise. Yes, please, quickly. Let them talk with the mic.
My name is Faith.
Okay.
And I've been having this constant migraine.
Are you seeing the miracles happening? Are you seeing the line? My God, it looks like a conference happening here.
And I was diagnosed with peptic ulcer. So sometimes I can't push my...
You were diagnosed what?
Peptic ulcer.
Peptic ulcer, okay.
I can't push my tummy in sometimes. I can't eat. I feel this heaviness. I can't breathe.
What happened to you tonight?
But I'm free. I can't feel anything.
You can't feel anything
anymore.
Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Next person, quickly. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Take the person back. Don't do that. Not for me. Not for any preacher. Don't drag people and bring them to the front. Keep them and listen. When you try and their faith works and they stand, then you bring them. Please correct that. So you don't do that. You are going to weaken the faith of the person on that wheelchair. It's not about the man of God. Don't do that. When you stand, when the man of God instructs, like we do back in the ministry, we ask every sick person to come. But there's a crowd, we can't do that. Please stand and believe with the person. You're going to dampen the faith of that innocent person. Don't do that. Yes, go ahead.
My name is Queen. And
queen.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've been having a kind of toothache in my molar exactly. And the moment you said there is a pain in your molar somewhere, and immediately left. You know, before I can't eat this place like this.
You can't eat this place. Try it now.
Anything. It's very hard. I can eat very hard.
Oh my
and
God.
It's not pain.
The name of Jesus goes forever. Back up a little. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Praise God. My name is Joseph. Since when I was 10, I had this chest issue. Whenever it is raining season, I can hardly breathe. I can hardly walk any distance. I have to be carried on my back to do a lot of things. But as the man of God was preaching this night, I felt like a cold sensation just blew through my chest. And
it's
everything,
gone.
Everything
completely
is gone.
Never return to you again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Next person, quickly. Come.
My name is Gloria. Okay. I was born with sickle cell anemia, and I've had this pain.
FS now, you mean?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I've had this pain on my right leg for 3 years now. And when you just said like there's someone with the pain on the leg,
it's
like,
gone.
You don't know, yes, it's gone. Like,
check
it's
it.
Gone.
Check it. Do what you couldn't
it's
do.
Gone.
It's gone.
Like,
completely.
I always.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the God of heaven, your genotype is changed now. In the name of Jesus Christ, come. Yes, please. Just a few minutes and we're done. Someone watching me now, this is the kind of result you will see in a strange way in your church, in your ministry, in whatever it is you're doing. Go ahead.
My name is Fabolo Mobotola.
So she's even shaking under the anointing. Yes, go ahead.
Since I was 9, I started falling sick. Different kinds of sickness. Whenever I try to attend a high, I must fall sick. Last year, I was on drugs from June. Then January, I gave Thanksgiving. Since then, the sickness started again.
What happened tonight, my dear?
This night, before you came, I just started feeling nauseated. I started vomiting. And my mommy came here because of me for this program.
Your mother is here?
Yes.
Oh,
and she
God.
Came to meet me at the guest house. She said, why is it that after every Thanksgiving, the sickness must come back? And my friend was with me. She said, what are you thinking of? And I stood up there. I said, God, if it's this sickness that will not allow me to always serve you, then the day is gone for one day and it comes back. My parents spent money on this sickness.
And tonight?
I'm okay, but I could hear a vibration in my ear. For several years, my ears have been paining me, but since now, I didn't allow my mommy to know it has not gone. But when I put my left ear, there, it will not work. When I changed it, it will work. So I kept quiet. Immediately, I was outside, my ears started vibrating. I've used different kind of ulcer drug. I've taken more than a carton of any kind of ulcer drugs. And I don't know, the thing just... I don't know.
It's just gone now. Look at this. Mighty Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost. It will never return to you again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
Last 2 weeks, I had this attack in my chest and I had to go home. When I got home, my mommy told me that, what's wrong with you? You always
point. Straight to the point, eh? Let's just conserve time.
Okay, it started with catarrh and later headache. And before I know it, my body started disintegrating. But yesterday, I tried to come to this program. Whenever I stand, I'll just have this attack in my chest. I might have to be beating very fast. But I trust God for the healing. And glory be to God. The beating has stopped. Like, my heart will be beating and my leg will be shaking like this. When I went home, my mommy said one thing and she burst into tears that, you are not a sickler. Why do you always fall sick all the time?
And tonight, what do you feel now? Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, when you see those who are sick, you may never know what they go through. You just know a crowd is standing here. But look at what Jesus has done. It never returns to you again, darling, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Yes, please, quickly.
My name is Shirley. When you said that there's a lady that is having menstrual, as in blood, as in head.
The issue of blood.
Yes,
you are the one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that was the reason I came. But when I checked, as a result of fibroid, I couldn't feel that.
You couldn't feel the fibroid?
I couldn't see that.
It's gone.
Mass.
Check it. Oh, there was a mask here.
and now it's press it. Let me see. No pain. Ah, look at this. Look at this. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. It never returns to you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Don't cry, my dear. Straight to the point.
My sister told me that I was going to receive my miracle.
Your sister told you?
She was under the ministry. I said no. I was at the verge of being surgery for glaucoma. No, I can't even look at the light.
Oh, you couldn't see well. Try to look at the light. Let's see.
Look, I have to write my bones. I can't see everything. I was planning for surgery next month.
I can't see everything. Hey. Do you see everything? You were to go for surgery. Jesus. Jesus perfected for you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Yes, please, quickly. Let's see if we can just take maybe four very quickly, and then I will pray for all in mass. You can testify in your various fellowships because we have to close now. Yes,
my
please.
Name is Bimbola. I woke up on February morning and this hand was swollen. I literally can't do anything with it.
Okay.
So thinking as it was paralyzed. So while you were preaching, it looked as if something was working inside of
something
me.
Was moving in your hands.
And the swollen has actually...
Look at it. There's no swelling here. Look at it. It's gone. Everything. Any pain.
I'm very okay with it.
Any pain. In the name of Jesus, it never returns to you again. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, please. Quickly. While they are testifying, the next person should come up so it makes it easy. Yes, please. Go ahead.
My name is Abayomi. I had issue with my left ear, partial deafness. But when
how long?
Before I came into last week. About
400 level.
Years
are you now?
400 level.
Okay.
So when the man of God said that there is a person here with an issue with the left ear that has been solved, I felt God move through me. You can talk to me now and I can hear very clearly. You don't have to talk twice before I could hear. Praise the Lord.
Put your hand there. It never returns to you. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Yes, please.
My name is Oluwada Milare. 2 years ago, I was struck with partial stroke.
Partial stroke?
Yes, sir. And when I was receiving...
Oh, I see.
The left... My right lap is heavier than the left one. And right now, it is now even equal than
jump.
It was before.
Jump. Shake your legs. This God, I will worship Him forever, love Him forever, because this God is too good. I will worship Him forever. This God.
And before, if I am walking, I'll walk in disguise so that people would not know what.
So that they wouldn't know
what is up. But now I walk.
Now you are bold.
I can walk straight now.
May God perfect you in the name of Jesus Christ. Next person, quickly.
My name is Afolabi Abisoye. I'm the guy with the issue of the appendix.
When appendix?
You said you saw the angel of the Lord passing by. I saw the angel of the Lord passing above me at that time, and he said, "You are healed." He said, "You are healed." He said, "It won't come again."
And now, check yourself. No pain.
No pain
at all.
No pain.
In the name of Jesus, it will never return to you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, it never, never returns to you again. Let's have one more. Just one. Any one more? Liver. Let her come. Please allow her. If there are two, leave the two to come. Don't worry. If not, we're going to have some chaos here now. Just leave her. Don't cry. Don't cry. Come. Testify. Go ahead.
My name is Shubola.
As loud as you can, darling.
My name is Shubola. I
I'm a physiotherapist, and I also came here to pray for a cancer patient who is in the hospital. And my hand for a long time now has been really aching me. My wrist has been really paining me. I just woke up and I felt a lot of pain there, and nothing I could do medically solve the problem.
And what happened tonight, my dear?
Tonight,
the hand is gone. Wave it, Leslie. Any pain? You're a physiotherapist, so you know what you're saying.
I know what I'm saying.
How about the power of God in physiotherapy? Jesus. God, you come.
Praise the Lord. My name is Gift Ponde. 2015, I'm during 21 days fasting in the Winners Church. I saw a lightning while coming from prayer that night, and since then, the spirit of insanity started disturbing me. Then
the spirit of insanity.
Several times I was taken to Kinaland for prayers, and it left me, and it started. Then I was having strange migraine, and each time I have that, I'll be having serious nightmare. Everybody around me will just start hating me and chasing me away.
So, and what happened tonight?
Today, while I was praying, before I came, I started feeling heaviness in my head, and all through the night I didn't sleep. So when I came today, while they were praying, I don't know what happened to me, but I felt a very strange heavy. I'm still feeling it in my leg down to my head.
It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
And that was how
everything
that head. I started feeling coldness in my head, and I'm very fine now. Hallelujah.
That devil of madness will never come to you, in the name of Jesus. Now, for all of you, my God, they have been. What's that? There's a queue like that. Oh my God. Lasso, look at what God has done on your campus. Now, for all, I'm so sorry we may not have the time, but I stretch my hands towards all of you who have been healed. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that sickness will never return again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to prophesy over your life. This is the most powerful part of this meeting. Everybody, I want you to listen. Please, you don't have to kneel. You don't have to do anything. If anyone is under the anointing, don't bring them out. Just help them. I want to pray. Your life is about to change. Son of man, can these bones live again? He said, only thou knowest. I want to speak over your life. Prophecy is powerful. So make sure you agree with a resounding amen. Every closed door, Habakkuk's Kalabra has said, over your life and over your destiny tonight, in the name of the Lord God of heaven, I speak to that door. Efata, be opened. Be open in the name of Jesus. Be open in the name of Jesus. Just help us under the anointing. Anyone here who is called by God into the ministry or is already in ministry, I stretch my hands like a fire from heaven. Oh God, I pray you, let something from heaven come upon your life now. Come upon your life now. Activate the prophetic. Activate the healing anointing. Activate the supernatural. Activate the teaching grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every student under the sound of my voice. I declare the kind of academic exploits you have never seen in your stay here. Walk into it now in the name of Jesus. I speak to your CGPA. Hear the word of the Lord. Rise up now in Jesus' name. I don't know what closed the door of favor and help over your life, but I stand here in the name of Jesus. and I decree and declare, step into a new season of supernatural favor. Step into a new season of supernatural favor. Final year students, are you here? In the name of Jesus, we graduate you here. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I speak over every final year student. The finisher's anointing, the grace to finish well, receive it in Jesus' name. I pray for the Central Fellowship and all the other fellowships in this campus. Regardless of what fellowship it is, you may be different in many ways, but I pray for you, for every fellowship, fresh fire upon your altar, revival upon your altar, salvation in every fellowship, a reign of miracles, signs and wonders. If there are any cult groups on this campus, right now I speak, all earth, hear the word of the Lord. I speak to the earth to fight any group that is causing trouble to anyone upon this campus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you left trouble in your families to come here. Can I speak to your homes? Can I speak to your family? Oh God of heaven, I pray over every family represented here. I don't know what door is closed over them, and I don't know what brings tears, but in the name that is above all names, in the name of the one who sent me to your campus, I declare that captivity is over now. Hallelujah. Now let me pray over your institution. Lasso, hear the word of the Lord. I speak to the spiritual borders of this campus. I decree and declare, number one, that Jesus is Lord over this campus. Number two, that the believers on this campus begin to excel by every standard. I speak to your Senate and I release the blessing of the Lord upon your Senate. I release the blessing upon the leadership, from the Vice Chancellor down to all the faculty executives, in the name of Jesus. And I declare, any lecturer on this campus who is due for promotion and has not been lifted, in the name of Jesus, we declare and we establish their promotion now. By the power of prophecy, I attract the attention of whoever can invest in your campus. That every facility that is needed to make you work well educationally, we call them by prophecy to come to your campus. Now, Lasso, you have received me and you have honored me. I lay my hands on my head, and in the name that is above all names, I declare that the same grace and the same honor that God has granted unto me, I declare, may you speak over your destiny. The God that took me from nothing and brought me to where I am today, may he lift you from where you are to a level where your world will celebrate you. Hallelujah. And I pray finally that, like I've taught tonight, from the north to the south, the east to the west of this campus. As I step out of this campus, may the angels of revival, may the angels of strange open heavens remain on your campus. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, I call this campus a spiritual portal. A portal for signs and wonders. A portal for manifestation of the power of God. And a place where not only are we having excellent students, but having destiny changers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Finally, before I step from this altar, I want to do three things very quickly. Number one, once again, Chaplain Sir, thank you so much. On behalf of the entire spiritual leadership of this campus, I am deeply grateful. Number two, like we always do, I know many of you follow and listen to the messages. Now, we have come with a complete catalog of all my messages updated. We have given it to your media people, or we'll give it to them, and it will be given, please, it should be given to every fellowship without discrimination. Everybody is my gift to you from the depth of my heart. And then number three, you can feel free to follow us on Facebook. I'm not on social media, but our ministry is on Facebook, Koinonia ENI. You can follow. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. And thank you so much, Lasso. God bless you.